Amen. Praise God for the opportunity to be together today. I would imagine that for a lot of us, as we were going through this week, we were kind of wondering if we'd make it to this day, right? When the power went out and the water shut off and the pipes were breaking and the ceilings were collapsing and the water needed cleaned up and everything, we were probably wondering, oh, Lord, can you just get us to Sunday? Please, Lord, get us to Sunday. Praise God, we made it to Sunday. Amen. God is able, and I am so thankful for the way that we have seen Him at work in this week. As hard as this week has been, God was still active in it. Amen. What I would love for us to do is to just acknowledge the fact that even in as hard as it was this week, we saw God working. Amen. Maybe you saw somebody come to your house and to help you out, and you saw God working, right? Maybe you were that somebody who was able to go somewhere else and to be the hands and feet of Jesus, and you saw God working. Maybe you were able to voice prayers to God and trusting that He is able to respond to the faith of the saints, and you knew God is working in all of that. I praise God that we know that God is working even in all of this, and we give Him glory for that. I'm thankful that even though our water is so close to being on in this building, y'all don't even know how close we are to being able to worship in the sanctuary today. But I'm so thankful that even though we can't be in the building, we can still worship together in a parking lot. And I'm thankful we can still worship together online. And I'm thankful we can still worship together, and that the devil is not going to stop the message of Jesus Christ from being proclaimed to every lost soul all throughout Houston. And I'm thankful that I get to be a part of the church of the living God that gets to proclaim that good news, no matter how cold it might be, no matter how hot it might be, no matter how windy it might be, no matter how noisy the road might be. No matter what might be going on, I am just thankful that I get to be a part of the church of the living God today. And I'm thankful that you are a part of that here as well. I'm going to get to my sermon here in a minute. I promise I will. I can't get to this until we just acknowledge the fact that as weird as all of this is, God is still present. As crazy as all of this week has been, God is still speaking, right? He wasn't surprised. He wasn't taken off guard. He didn't wake up on Monday morning and say, "Oh man, didn't see that one coming," right? God is still at work in all of this. And sometimes there are distractions like this that can come up that might trick us into thinking that we are in this all by ourselves. And the truth of the matter is that God is still able, even when it's really, really cold outside. Amen. We have been working through a sermon series called Disciples. And in this series, we have been talking about what it is that disciples do and how it is that disciples are made. And we are about 7 weeks into this series now. And so what I want to do real quick is just give you a real quick review of everything that we have covered thus far so that you understand why it is that we're talking about what we're talking about today. So the very first week, we talked about the fact that disciples have a biblical foundation. In other words, we aren't just making this stuff up. We're not just doing it because it seems right. We make disciples in the way that Jesus made disciples. We look to the Bible as our rule of faith, and God is the one who directs how we do what we do, right? Week two, we talked about the fact that disciples are intentional leaders. We're not just going to happen to make disciples. We're not accidentally going to trip over a disciple. We have to be intentional as disciples to be able to make disciples as well, to be intentional about having conversations, intentional about building relationships, intentional about sharing the gospel with people that aren't living according to the gospel even now. Week three, we talked about the importance of relational environments, and that's not just like a place necessarily. Like, for example, you might not think this is a relational environment, but it actually is, right? Because we're able to actually be together. We're able to have conversation. Relational environment is the environment in which you set to build a relationship with somebody else. That might be in your home, but it might be at a coffee shop. It might be as you carpool with somebody. It might just be as you meet up with people at the park. It's not a way. Relational environment is not about where. It's about a situation that you are creating in which you can build relationship and be able to speak into somebody else's life. The fourth week, then, we talked about the importance of having a reproducible process. In other words, in order for us to be a church that is full of disciples that make disciples, we want to do it in a particular way. We don't want you to make disciples in one way and me to do it another way and you to do it another way and everybody just kind of doing their own thing. We want people to know that there is a reproducible process, and that if you follow the biblical foundation that Jesus has laid out for us, we will be able to make disciples even as Jesus did, and even as his disciples did, and even as those who discipled us did. Amen? Boy, that truck trying to be loud. That's all right, though. I can be loud, too. So week five, then, we talked about the importance of actually sharing with spiritual infants. And this is where we began to look at, as we're talking to people, understanding people's where people are spiritually. Not as like a demeaning sort of thing of, oh, well, you're just a spiritual infant. You wouldn't understand, right? But just to acknowledge that there are some connections here. And so what's important for those that are new to faith, that have moved from death to life, or maybe still are dead in their sins, is those individuals need to have somebody who's just willing to share with them what God has been doing in your life and in my life, our lives, to share with them the good news that has really changed you, and share with them the good news that will help change them as well. Then last week, we talked about the importance of connecting with spiritual children. Children have a lot of questions, right? And so we want to make sure that we are the people that are helping those that are asking spiritual questions, that we're helping them get connected to God. Remember, it's not just about connecting to us as individuals, not about just getting them connected to the church, which is important, not just about getting them connected to a community group, which is also important. It's not just about getting them connected to the Word of God, which is vitally important. But it's about getting them connected to God himself, so that when they go through hard times like this last week, and we're not able to be there, and they don't have the whole Bible memorized, they know they can still go to God and find answers and support and strength and hope and encourage their faith even all by themselves, right? So we want to help connect spiritual children to God. Which brings us then to week seven here. Now, before I get into that, I just want to say that you may or may not, I'm sure that each week that I'm preaching these sermons, you guys are memorizing everything that I'm saying. I'm sure that you are. I'm sure you've got all the notes at home, and you're probably doing flashcards with each other and everything. If that's not the case, don't tell me otherwise. But I'm just going to trust that that's what you're doing most of the time, right? But just in case, I want you to know that these are not things that people are just born knowing, right? These are things that disciples are trained in. And part of the reason that we're doing this series now is because this coming summer, praise the Lord, brother, this coming summer, we are going to be doing discipleship training in the months of June, July, and August. We're going to have one training that will be here at the building on Sunday afternoons, and Pastor Sarah will be leading that here. We're going to have another training. It's going to be online via Zoom on Wednesday nights starting at 6 o'clock. And so we're trying to create some environments here where I know schedules are busy, and sometimes, you know, different things work for other people. We want you to be able to be trained as a disciple maker, right? Not just someone who's showing up on a Sunday morning, although we praise God for you showing up on Sunday morning. We want you to be able to learn some of these things and to be able to put them into practice in your own lives. And it's not just going to happen accidentally. And so I want to encourage you. You can actually go to our website. It's hfcug.org/community groups. And on that page, you can actually go ahead and sign up for our summer discipleship training even now. And so I'm going to give you permission even. If you're here in the parking lot right now or even if you're online, if you want to pull up that website right now and sign up for the discipleship training that will be happening this summer, I would encourage you to do that even right now. You will learn so much about how God is ministering to you and how God is equipping you to minister to others as well. And I hope you take advantage of that. If you have any questions about that, feel free to reach out to Pastor Sarah or myself, and we'd love to get you connected even further with those things. So today, what we're gonna talk about is how it is that we can help spiritual young adults to serve. So spiritual children need you to share with them. Infants need you to share with them. Spiritual children need you to help them connect to God. Spiritual young adults need you to help them serve, right? The transition that happens between childhood and young adult is that we begin to recognize that we are not the only people on the planet, right? We begin to realize that not everything revolves around us. And we begin to recognize that, hey, we actually have some things that we can contribute to the world, right? Things like opinions. Man, young adults have some significant opinions, amen? Y'all were there too, it's all right. Young adults have some very strong opinions. They have some things that they want to contribute to the world. Young adults are usually the ones that want to kind of grab the world by the horns, if you will, and kind of get the world right. Like, why isn't the world the way the world is supposed to be? And so the young adults are the ones that want to serve, that want to find their purpose, that want to live in their purpose, right? Spiritually, we find ourselves in this very same place. And so as disciple makers, what we need to do is help spiritual young adults find places to serve. Now, you might think that this is something that that pastor would do, right? Oh, this is something Pastor Sarah does, or whatever. Like, oh, this is something that Naomi, our connection director, like, she's the one who helps people serve. No, no, no. But what I'm saying is that for all of us as disciple makers, we are responsible to help others find places to serve. So in Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 through 28, it says, Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Praise God for the motorcycles out there. Amen. We're going to serve them too. Let me reread verse 28 again. It says, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." See, what we need to recognize is that part of being a disciple is that we have to serve according to God's will and God's plan for our lives. If we are not serving, we are missing out on the full experience of what it is to be a disciple. See, the truth of the matter is that Jesus did not die on a cross so that we could show up on a Sunday morning worship service. Amen. I'm sure you said it. I probably just couldn't hear it. Jesus Christ didn't die on a cross just so that we could watch other people do kingdom work. Jesus Christ died on the cross that our sins might be forgiven, that we might be made new, that we could do His will, that we could live according to His kingdom, that we could serve His purposes for His glory. That is part of what it is to be a disciple. And so if we are going to be followers of Jesus that are changed by Jesus on the mission of Jesus, then we've got to serve like Jesus served. I mean, think about it. If we aren't serving the way Jesus served, then in essence what we are saying is that we are better than Jesus. Now, I know none of us are going to say that, like, out loud, but sometimes our actions reflect that. Well, yeah, Jesus served, but I don't really have anything to serve with. Really? Really? God has provided an opportunity for all of us to serve in one way or another. And so even as Jesus set that example, we need to follow that example as well. So let me give you a few things here just as ways that we can be thinking about how we can help other people find a place of service. So as we are disciples that are discipling others, how can we help others find a place to serve? So first of all, we want to equip people for ministry. Now, that sounds a whole lot like a class. And then I guess in some ways, like the training we're talking about for the summer, like that's part of it. But what I want you to recognize is that most of the time, people get equipped for ministry just through basic conversations that you have with them, right? It's a matter of you saying, hey, there's this need that I saw, in my community last week. And you know what? I really have a passion to do something about that. Having a conversation with, just having the conversation is equipping people for ministry. Because then what you are going to do in the midst of that conversation is you're going to recognize, well, you're going to start asking questions, right? Well, how would we do that? What would that look like? How would we be able to minister in that way? What are some of the boundaries that might be? So what are some of the obstacles? That's what I meant to say. What are some of the obstacles we might have to get over to accomplish that? What are the resources that we have, or what are some of the resources that we need to have in order to do those kinds of things? As you are having those conversations, you are equipping people for ministry. Now watch this. Because you already have places where you are serving, right? Most of us that are here or even watching this right now, we have places where we are serving already. And when you begin to have conversations with others about the ways in which you are already serving God in His kingdom, you are equipping them to do that ministry as well. So if you're singing on the worship team, or if you're working in the nursery, or if you're on our finance team, or if you're working as an usher, or as a sound tech, or wherever it might happen to be, as you begin talking about the ministry opportunities in which you are serving, you begin equipping other people to serve in those ways as well. You begin giving them an idea of what it might be like for them to serve in those ways too. The second thing then is we want to provide opportunities for ministry, right? Now this sounds again like, well, that must be something that the pastoral staff would do. That's got to be something that our connections director does, right? Like that's for Naomi. Let her do that. No, well, where we can all do this, it's so simple that it's almost that it's got to be profound, right? The way that we provide ministry opportunities for other people is just in simple invitation. In other words, when you're ministering, don't minister by yourself. Like, if you're going to go and you're going to help somebody else in your neighborhood or in your family or, whatever there, right? Don't go by yourself. Invite someone else to go with you, right? I mean, the truth of the matter is, we do this all the time with our kids. Like, I do this all the time with my kids, let me say that, right? I got somewhere I got to be. I got somewhere I got to help with. All right, y'all coming with me. Let's go. Let's do this. Now, that's not really an invitation because they don't really have a choice. Come on now. But you could actually invite someone to go with you. Like, for example, maybe there's somebody that in the midst of all this pandemic, has not been able to get out and be in a worship service or anything like that, has not been able to connect with others like physically in the building, and maybe you're able to just make a phone call to help, you know, check on them and see how they're doing. Like, you could very easily just make that a three-way phone call, right? Invite somebody else into that call as well. Or as soon as you hang up the phone, you could text somebody else and say, hey, I just got off the phone with so-and-so. It'd be awesome if, you know, what do you think about calling them as well and just check in on them, right? Just the very action of inviting someone else to do what you are doing is providing ministry opportunity for others. And it doesn't have to be huge. It doesn't have to be like groundbreaking. It's not a matter of like, you don't have to like plant a church and invite somebody else to come be a part of your church plant. Like, I'm talking about like basic ministry to other people. And you can invite people to do that with you. See, I think sometimes we get in our minds that discipling somebody else is too huge to do for me. Like that's something that somebody super spiritual has to be able to do. And what I want you to recognize today is that if you can minister, if you can serve, you can invite someone else to minister and you can invite someone else to serve. I mean, it really is that simple. And no matter how long you've been walking with Jesus, if you are serving, you can invite someone else to serve. And God can work in their lives and through their lives in the same way that he's working through yours. Lastly then, and so again, we want to equip for ministry. We want to provide ministry opportunities. And then we want to release people to do ministry in ways that are unique to them. Like, for example, let me give you a few examples even just from this last week, right? So I lost all track of days. Today is Sunday. I'm pretty sure I know that. So it was Wednesday night when we were here and we were trying to clean up the building. We had a drain pipe actually in this room right up here to the right. It's the room right behind me here. We had a drain pipe that had a leak in it. And it never leaked before, but it leaked now. And so water was not only in this room, but also got in the youth room and in the hallway. It actually came down and was in the hospitality room a little bit. And so we had a group of people together on Wednesday, and we're trying to clean up all the water and everything like that. And we have this kind of rug doctor machine, right? It's carpet cleaner, but it just sucks up all kinds of water. We had shop vacs and all kinds of stuff around here. But I was working this rug doctor, and man, it was just sucking all kinds of water up out of this carpet and everything. And we had Pastor David and Jim and Elise and Jesse and Vicky came, and when Jesse and Vicky got there, they were looking for something to do, right? And here I'm working this little rug doctor, and so they asked me, like, Pastor Tim, what can I help with? Well, I got this thing right here for you. So here, this is a little rug doctor we're going to work. So this is how you use it. This is where you turn it on. This is how you pull it. Once it gets full, this is what you do with it. And so I showed them all the stuff with it, right? Then I let them kind of take a turn at doing it too, and they start pulling it back and sucking water and all this. It gets filled up. They go empty it out and everything. And I'm like, cool, y'all are good. I'm out. And I went and found something else to do, right? They were able to do that, and I was able to release them to do that ministry. I talked to them about what to do. I invited them to take the handles of that little rug doctor themselves. I stayed with them to make sure that they got it all taken care of and was able to talk through any questions they might have. And then I released them to do it their way. Now, here's what's interesting. As they were doing it, they did it different than I did it. They sure did. Like, I had this little pattern of how I was doing things, right? And I was moving, too. I was going quick. Like, I was not trying to waste time sucking all this water up out of this carpet. But when they were going through, whoo, they were going real slow with it and everything. I'm like, man, we going to be here all night like this, right? And they kind of started in one area, but then they went to a different place where I wouldn't have gone next. But they went to this other place. And then at one point, they didn't know where to go next, so they asked me, and I was like, well, why don't you kind of do this area? And they did, but they did it a way totally different than I would have done it. And you know what? It got done. Praise God. And guess what? It got done better than I would have done it. Amen. It's all right. It's all right. But you see the power of inviting people to ministry, right? You see the power of inviting people in. Like, in fact, there was another time. So we're down in the hospitality room. This was, today's Sunday, Saturday, Friday. It was Friday. We're in the hospitality room, and we had, over this last year, we put down a vinyl flooring that is not waterproof. In other words, water can get under it, but if you pull it up, you can dry it out, you can save it, put it right back down, no mold issues, anything like that. Super awesome product, so glad we have it, but we got to pull up that floor, right? So I'm in there, and I'm working on it, and I'm pulling these different things, and of course, I drug my kids with me. Beth was at work and all that kind of stuff. Lily decided she was going to come help, and so she's like, what are we doing? And I said, well, I'm pulling this up. If it's got this marking on it, it goes there. If it's a whole piece, it goes here. If it's wet, it goes over there. Those are the three places. That's the only places where things are going. So she, like, I'm pulling it up, and she's taking it. Well, then after a little while, Terry and Evan show up. And they're like, all right, Pastor, what do we do? And I didn't have to tell them anything. Liliana came in and said, all right, well, if it has this marking on it, it goes there. And if it's this whole sheet, it goes there. And if it's wet, it goes over there. And I'm just like, come on, girl, do that, right? Now, what was great then is that I, once Terry and Evan got there, under the incredible leadership of Liliana, I was able then to go do something else. And so then I'm upstairs, and I'm pulling baseboard off of the floors upstairs just so we can make sure that stuff gets all nice and dry. And while I'm doing that, Evan comes up and says, we're done downstairs. What else can I do? I said, can you work a knife? Now, for those of you who don't know, Evan is one of our teenage students, and so that is kind of a frightening proposition there. But he could. So I gave him some gloves and a knife, and I said, here's what you're going to do, and you're going to pull it off of here and everything. And you know what I did? I showed him how to do it, and I watched him do it, and I got up out of there, and I let him do it. And do you know what? He did it different than I would have done it. They pulled the floors different than I would have done it, too. It wasn't like I would have done it, but they sure did get it done, and they actually did it better than I would have done. Praise God. Like, I just want you to recognize that this is not just about, like, pastor doing stuff. Like, this is what it looks like to give people opportunities to minister. It is not rocket surgery, right, Cindy? It's just a matter of inviting people to do what you are already doing and then helping them to be successful in that and then letting them go do that and not putting your control over them, but just praising God that they're willing to do it. We have opportunities to serve. And as disciples, we have opportunities to invite others to serve as well. As we are going throughout this next week and people are still getting cleaned up and all that kind of stuff, I want you not only to look for places to serve, but look for places to invite others to serve as well. Pastor David, Jennifer, why don't you guys come on back up? We're going to do one last song here. But before we do, I want us just to have a season of prayer together, right? We believe that God is still at work, right? And I want you to recognize that everything that is happening physically around us, there's something spiritual right behind that. There is. There's something spiritual about the fact that the water is not flowing through our building right now. I know that might sound sort of weird, but there is. There sure is. There's something spiritual happening. For those of you that have had water get in your house in one way or another, there's something spiritual going on in that. You need to recognize that. And I'm not saying the devil broke your pipes or anything like that, but I am saying that the enemy might be telling you some things in the midst of your stress that are not necessarily true. There are spiritual things that are happening around us, and I want us as the Church of the Living God to come against those things and to recognize that we don't have to submit to the desires of our flesh, but that we can still submit to God's Holy Spirit and see His fruit produced in all that we're doing. So I just want to take a moment to pray for these things that are happening. So if you would, stand with me. And here's what I want to do at first. I'm gonna kind of open us in prayer. After I pray for a moment, I'm gonna stop praying from the microphone. And I want you to pray because you know about some situations that I don't know about. And I want you to pray about those situations, that God would work there, that the enemy would be defeated there. And then after a moment of you praying yourself, then I'll come back and I'll close us in prayer together. All right? Let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you for opportunity to worship you today. We thank you, God, for the light at the end of the tunnel here, Father. We thank you for your faithfulness to bring us through. We thank you, God, for opportunities to minister to one another even throughout this week. And we thank you, God, for opportunities that are coming to us even still. God, I thank you that you are at work in all of this. I thank you, Father, that you are not on vacation. You are not asleep. You've not left us to ourselves, but rather your Holy Spirit is at work. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would help us to be aware of what your Holy Spirit is doing in our lives even now. God, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would come against every demonic attack. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Father, to flee the temptation to think thoughts that are not true and that are not of you. God, I pray that you would help us to submit to the leading of your Holy Spirit, that your good fruit would be produced inside of us. God, I come against every problem in our homes. I come against every pipe that needs fixed, God, and every bit of stress that is wrapped up in that. God, I pray that you would not only fix those situations, God, but that you would fix our hearts in the midst of those situations, God. Help us, Lord, that we hear you even in the midst of our stress. Help us, God. Hear our prayers even now. As we cry out to you on behalf of those that we know of, God, hear our cries of faith on their behalf even now. Hear us, Father. God, we thank you for these opportunities that you are giving us to serve and these opportunities you are giving us to intercede on behalf of those that need a touch from you. God, we seek your glory even now. We seek your glory even now, Father, even in the midst of the struggle, God, we seek your glory. And we thank you, Father, that you are able. You are able. We thank you, Father, for the testimonies that are coming of your provision and your deliverance. We thank you, Father, for the testimonies that are coming of your peace and your assurance of our faith, even in the midst of all of this, God. We glorify your holy name in advance. And we trust you, God, to have your way. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.